Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Jules Fancast. Today we are joined by one of our ex-managers. He started his youth career at Tottenham Hotspur. He actually played on loan for us in 1989. He took his career from Portsmouth to Southend to Leyton Orient. He then became player manager at Grays Athletic in 2002. That then took him from Grays to Stevenage, become Gillingham manager in 2007. Surely everyone remembers that wonderful season in 2008-09 where we got that Wembley promotion. He then went on to manage Barnet, Kettering and Thurrock. He now applies his trade as manager at Hornchurch. Today we are joined by ex-Gillingham manager Mark Stimpson. Mark, thank you ever so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
I mean, that's quite an intro, isn't it?
It is. There's a lot there when you think about it. Like you say, been up and down the country, had some fantastic times, and I'm sure we're going to talk about a few of those now.
We are indeed. Yeah, so let's go right back to the beginning then. Your youth career started at Tottenham Hotspur. What made you get into football?
I think just when I grew up, just that's all I sort of done from an early age, just played football and had the dream to try and make it as a professional, and was very fortunate. I got took on at Tottenham as an apprentice, as it was called back then, and after doing my 2-year apprenticeship, got offered a professional contract, obviously accepted that, and went on to make my full debut for Tottenham. So that's something that I'll never forget. It was away at Everton, it only seems like yesterday, but it's not. It's a hell of a long while ago, but won't ever forget that, and enjoyed every moment at that fantastic football club.
I mean, yeah, you after you'd made your first team debut, you went out on loan to Leyton Orient. Was it a kind of a case that you went out to go and get games and more experience?
Yes, I actually made my debut right late on in the season, and I think after that game there was only one more game. It was the FA Cup final, where unfortunately Spurs lost to Coventry in, and the next season, after realised I wasn't going to get first team at Spurs, it was important to go and get some senior football. And like you said, I went out there to Leyton Orient, enjoyed that time, worked under Frank Clark, who was a very experienced manager, and fortunate for me, played in my position as left back, and I gained a lot of knowledge off him, and enjoyed my time there at Leyton Orient.
Yeah, I mean, Gillingham fans kind of then first come across you in 1989, because you went back to Spurs, then was sent out on loan. You rocked up and ended up playing 18 games for the Jules. Yeah, what was it about Jules that drew you to the club?
There's a couple of things. One really important again was the manager. It was Keith Birkinshaw.
Yeah,
he'd been manager at Tottenham when I was an apprentice, and obviously had that job. And after speaking to him and him explained to me what he wanted me to do, and I really was excited by that. And also there was a couple of players there at the time, Gavin Peacock, who I'd played youth football with and against, and also older players who I looked and watched on TV, like George Burley, and I just thought it was a great match. I went there, I enjoyed again every moment of it, and although I was only there 3 months, I think I came third second, I can't
remember. Second, you come second, yeah.
Second, yeah. Player of the year. I think Gav might have beat me, and Ronnie Hilliard, who was an absolute legend at the club, goalkeeper. I think he may have come either first or third. You'll probably have to correct me on that. So, again, no, good times. There's some old, experienced players there. Alan Walker, what a centre half he was.
Yeah.
David Smith, who played in front of me on the wing, had pace, had players like George Burley, Gavin Peacock. So it was a good side, and with Keith Birkinshaw being in charge, we tried to play a certain way, and that was football, the right way that I thought was that the game should be played, and enjoyed my months there, and that led then on to a move to Newcastle.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. at the end of the 88-89 season, you've left. You ended up leaving Spurs. Got a kind of move to Newcastle. The size of that football club. Just you must turn up at the ground and the training ground, and you pretty much decision made, surely.
Yes, it was one of those. I'd been offered a new contract at Tottenham, but Newcastle came in for me, and again, speaking to the manager there, Jim Smith, he could guarantee me first team football, and that's something I needed at that age.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go and sit in the reserves again and just play sort of non-competitive football. I needed first team football. Speaking to Jim Smith, and then, like you say, yeah, actually travelling up there and seeing the stadium, it was a no-brainer. So I went and signed, and until then, you hear about what it means to the North East football, but until you actually go in it and play in it, you don't understand it. It is everything. You know, the guys up there just live for football. And again, I had a different time. My first season was very, very enjoyable. I think I played over 40-odd games. Finished on a bad note. We got beat by Sunderland in the playoff final. And the Geordie guys, that is something just not thinkable, but it happened.
Yeah.
And then after that, change of manager, change of style of play. I had an indifferent couple of seasons, but I'm a sort of positive guy, and I always try to remember the good times rather than the bad times. And there's a lot more pluses than minuses in that little stint at Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, any memorable games that kind of stand out in your time at Newcastle?
A few, to be honest. There was always the derby games against Sunderland. They was always full of everything, really. People competing, good football. The Middlesbrough games were good as well, so that was like a derby. But then at the time, I think West Ham was a good side in the division, so those games was always good, especially being from the East End. You go back and play up to Park and with all your family watching that was good. We were fortunate to play Manchester United in a cup game, if I recall now, was a good one. But some good games, and I was fortunate to play with some good players. When I first went there, you had Mickey Quinn and Mark McGee up front, who everyone know probably Mickey Quinn more for the radio, but a fantastic striker. And obviously Mark McGee, Celtic, Hamburg, and obviously had been a manager at a very good level as well. And they were just two of many decent players. And when I left, the team then just started to change into what I call superstar players. You know, your Rob Lees, your Andy Coles, people like that started to come into the building.
Yeah, I mean, that was when kind of your spell was ending at Newcastle, when Kevin Keegan took over. You kind of fell out of favour a little bit, didn't you, and was sent out on loan to Portsmouth. Was it the case that you weren't really, once Keegan had come in, you weren't really going to see much football, and you had to kind of get out, and Portsmouth was the destination?
Yeah, again, it was one of those, you've been used to playing senior football, first team football in front of crowds of 20,000, 25,000. I didn't want to be sitting in reserves playing in front of 100 people. Fortunate enough for me, Jim Smith was Portsmouth manager. He bought me at Newcastle, and he was interested in signing me again. And Newcastle were going in a totally different direction. They were bringing in, like I said, superstar players, and I wasn't up to that level. You have to take that on the chin, but there's always other teams and divisions you can play in, and I was prepared to go and play where I was wanted. And lucky enough for me, Portsmouth were in the same division as Newcastle. I went down there and with Jim again, and enjoyed a couple of good seasons there as well.
Yeah, I mean, Portsmouth's a sizeable club. I mean, looking back on your career, Mark, like you started your youth career at Spurs. You obviously a couple of loan spells. You went to Newcastle. You went to Portsmouth. They're massive clubs that you turned out for.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to play, like you say, the clubs there with big fan bases. You know, Newcastle was incredible. Spurs, well, everyone knows what Tottenham is, and even Portsmouth down there on that south coast. It means a lot to the people, and we were, in my time there, we were a good cup side. The league, we probably didn't achieve as much as we should have, but in the cups, I remember one week we played Blackburn away in the FA Cup. We had the Shearer and the Suttons, who ended up winning the Premier League. They were Premier League, we were Championship. that was on a Saturday, and on the Tuesday night we was away to Manchester United, who was second with the likes of Steve Bruce, an old Gillingham legend, and Ryan Giggs and Cantona in the League Cup. And we drew both those games. Unfortunately, we got beaten in the replays, but we had some players. You know, we had Paul Walsh up front, Jerry Craney, an ex-Celtic player, Keith Simons, Andy Alford at the back. So, no, we had a decent side. We just probably didn't maintain that form in the league as well as we should have. But, again, good memories, good memories.
Yeah, I mean, you then went on loan to Barnet. I mean, just looking back, that was kind of your fourth loan spell around your career. Was it frustrating that you kind of, when you arrived at a club, I know obviously for Newcastle and Portsmouth and later on when we get to Southend, they're the kind of most experiences you made. Was it frustrating for you that you never went and kind of settled at a club and went on and played 100 plus games?
Possibly. I think if you look at the stats at Newcastle, I think I did just about make over 100. I think what they only give is the league games, because at the time when I was playing, you played Anglo-Italian Cup.
Oh, okay.
And there was all other cup competitions. I think I just squeezed over 100 at Newcastle. With the Barnet one at Portsmouth, I had to have a year out. I had a serious back injury. I had something, it was a spinal fusion. I fractured my lower back. So I was out for a year. So when I come back, I was way off the pace of things. And I was fortunate enough at the time to have a great physio there, and a lady called Wendy Chamberlain, who's actually, yes, Mark Chamberlain's wife and Oxley Chamberlain's mum. And she'd done all my rehab work from a hospital, and that was fantastic. And then Barnet, the pool there was, again, the manager was Ray Clements.
Okay,
ex-Tottenham. So again, although it was two divisions below, I needed to play football. I needed a month's football to try and get my legs and body going again, just to see sort of what level I was going to end up playing at, because obviously it was quite a serious injury. I went to Barnet. Again, good times, although it was only for a month. I'm out with someone who I keep in contact, not regularly, but when we talk, we use a foot we took every week, and that was an old player there, Alan Pardew. He was on his last sort of days, and we struck up a good relationship, and had a month, went back to Portsmouth, got back in the team, but again, a change of manager and a change of ideas. Southend come in for me, and again, that was sort of what I called moving back home, you know, going back into sort of the Essex area from being up north and down south. I thought the time was right. And I've been fortunate, again, I keep mentioning these managers, but the manager at Southend at the time was Ronnie Whelan.
Yeah.
Who, his nickname was Medals. I don't have to say why, but no, the way he wanted to play football was what I'd love to hear. We went there, equivalent to championship level now, and although I went there, I think it was in March, we just missed out on the playoffs that season. So it was a good start, but like most things, Ronnie left, new manager comes in, didn't want to play that type of football, and we had what I call footballers, and the way the manager wanted to play it didn't suit, and unfortunately got a relegation, and then that hit the club bad, to be honest, and the players were leaving, likes of Mike Marsh, who was a fantastic centre midfield player. We had a lad up front called Andy Rammel, who was a good old fashioned centre forward you could play off of. And when you start losing key players like that, the quality goes down, and sadly, Southend had a couple of relegations.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the managers that you've kind of played under. Do you think that, obviously we'll speak about your managerial career a little bit later, but do you think that a lot of the managers that you played under, you kind of took things from later on down the line?
I think every player or two who goes into management, you try and take little bits and pieces from each manager.
Yeah.
Like a couple, I think you mentioned one there, Kevin Keegan was one I had, and also Ozzy Ardiles at Newcastle as well was my manager. So I've been, like say, lucky, blessed, whatever you want to say. I've had World Cup winners, I've had England managers, Terry Venables. So yeah, you pick up little bits and pieces for each one, good and bad, and then you try and obviously you have your own ideas how you want to play it, and you try and put that into practice when you get the opportunity.
Yeah, you mentioned about kind of Southend, ended up getting relegated in the end. That kind of then forced a move to Leyton Orient. How did that move come about? Because obviously they were your former club, weren't they?
I wasn't getting a game at Southend, and it came late on in the season, again, in the deadline day then, that was sort of March. And I'd done a deal there where I went there to the end of the season, Orient were in League 2, would be now, and my contract was if we got promoted, I'd get a new contract. And the team there, looking at the team, and I'd go through a couple of players, Dean Smith with my room partner, who obviously is doing all right for himself now. Martin Ling was a centre midfield player who had some ability. We had Craig Maskell up front, Alex Inglethorpe. So I thought we had a chance. We had a chance of promotion. So I went and done that. Unfortunately, and it was my last senior league game, I got dropped for the playoff final at Wembley.
Against,
Scunthorpe. I played in the semi-final, two-legged against Rotherham. We won. And I got left out of the final for obviously the manager's reasons, and unfortunately lost that game. So that meant me not having a contract, and then looking elsewhere. And then that's when I probably decided to go part time and start coaching. So I went into the Tottenham Academy, and I ended up doing that for 5 years. Worked with some very good young players there who have gone on to obviously be Premier League players now. And then, obviously, started my part-time football with Cowie Island, who, again, was full up with old pros, Steve Tilson, Paul Williams, Keith Dublin, just to name a few, sort of thing. And even Julian Dix come down and played a little while for us. And there at Cowie, we had some great cup runs, live TV games on the BBC against Northampton, and also won the FA Trophy at Villa Park for the first time for the club. So that was... pretty pleasing.
Yeah, which you set up, correct me if I'm wrong, you set up the winning goal and you won Man of the Match that day as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a good day for me. It was a good day, that one, yes.
then obviously, you spent two or three years at Canvey, and in 2002, Grace come along. This was kind of your first spell as manager. I know you were player manager at the time. You mentioned about coaching. Did you kind of always see yourself as a number one, or was you willing to kind of take any kind of coaching role and work your way up? Or
if I'm totally honest, I will be totally honest. At first, I thought the coaching role was going to suit me because I really liked helping young players. Even my time at Southend, there's a couple of young players there who I used to spend a little bit of time with after training. And do some extra work, and then obviously going to the academy at the Spurs, thinking, yeah, this could be the route. But then went into Grays as player coach, and then obviously got the job as player manager. And I would say once you get that second win or third win on the trot, that buzz gets you.
Yeah,
it gets you, and it's sort of. I don't know, it sort of takes over and you want it more and more. And so I sort of changed. I got that job, and then the good thing at Grays was I had a chairman there who sort of had a lot of ambition. And I said to him, I want to try and convert Grays from being a part-time team into a full-time team. With young players who get released from pro clubs. I went round to like Tottenham, Arsenal, West Ham, Orient, Barnet, Southend, Cholton, and I got hold of about seven young players that had all been released at 17, 18, one being 15.
Wow.
Gary Hooper at Spurs, and getting them senior experience at men's football at Grays, and the likes of Gary Hooper, Fred Eastwood, who ended up playing for Southend, Wolves, Wales,
yeah.
Michael Kightley, he went on to play for Wolves as well. Aaron McLean went on to play for a few clubs. Dennis Olley, who ended up coming to me at Gillingham.
Yeah.
He was part of that Grays team I got from Queen's Park Rangers at 18, been released.
Wow.
So we had a fantastic team at Grays. Was very successful. We won the Conference South and the trophy in the same year. The following year, we went up to the conference. We lost in the semi-final. Again, won't forget that game because it was a Wednesday night against Halifax, the manager Halifax at the time. And I think it was the first time he beat me. Unfortunately, it was Chris Wilder, who, again, he's not doing too bad for himself.
Doing all right.
And then on that was on a Wednesday, and on the Sunday, we won the trophy final again for the second year at Upton Park, where I think Grace took something on the region of 15,000 supporters.
Wow.
So, that was good. That was fantastic memories. But like most things, unfortunately, this game we choose to be in, you leave for whatever reasons. I did that, yeah. And then you'll tell me next who I went on to.
Yeah. You went on to Stevenage. What was it? How did the move come about? And what was it about Stevenage that kind of pulled you away from Grays?
Well, first it was difficult to leave Grays because, like I just said, those players there. Exceptional. We'd lost Freddie. Freddie had already moved on to Southend.
Yeah.
But like, I think in that last Trophy Cup final, I had Kiteley, I had Dennis Solly, I had Aaron McLean, I had Stuart Thurgood, who'd come to them as well later on. Gary Hooper was actually on the bench that game, can you believe it?
Wow.
And it was an odd one, but it's just the direction I wanted to go into. The chairman didn't really want to do it for some reason, and I do bump into him occasionally, and whenever we do have a chat, he always says, I wish I would have gone along with what you said.
Yeah.
Listen, it's life, we have to move on, and we did. I resigned. I didn't have a job, to be fair, but I just thought I took the club as far as I could, to be honest with myself. And then, lucky enough, after about a month, I went and met Stevenage. I also met a couple of other teams, and the club itself, Stevenage, felt the right fit for me. They was... again, into developing young players, obviously wanted to compete at the right end of the table, but wanted to play a certain way of football. So we went into there. Unfortunately, I couldn't take any players from Grays because we was in the same league. So no players at the time was able to leave, get out their contracts. But we had a decent left winger there at the time. And after working for a couple of weeks, I thought, he's good, but he's not a left winger. I need to play him in the middle of the pitch. And that was George Boyd. so I moved him in the middle. The only reason I moved him in the middle was I convinced the chairman to go and pay £4,000 for Steve Morrison from Bishop Stortford.
Wow.
And we'll talk about Steve from the junior days when we get onto it. But so I've got Steve, played him as a 9, George as a 10. And by Christmas, we was absolutely flying. Flying. I think we'd gone something like 18 games unbeaten. But unfortunately, George Boyd had something in his contract. If someone offered £250,000, he was allowed to talk to him. And Peter Burrow matched that. George went there and obviously signed because they were a League One club. We lost George. So hard to replace. You just don't replace someone like George Boyd at that level.
Yeah.
That season, I think we missed out on the playoffs. But again, I was very, very fortunate to manage at the new Wembley. First senior game there.
Yeah.
And for me, make it 3 out of 3 in the trophy final, and Steve Morrison scoring a winning goal in the last minute. So
that featured some ex-Jules players that obviously went on to go and play for you.
Yes.
John Nutter played.
Yes.
I think, correct if I'm wrong, Adam Miller.
Yes.
Who was your goalkeeper that day? Was it Jules?
Alan Julian.
I thought so, yeah. Oh, it was Jules, yeah. And so, yeah, obviously they then...
Who's the one you forgot who plays for Jules now?
Oh, my God. This is bad, isn't it? Who plays for Jules now? Wow.
Barry Fuller.
There we go, Barry, yes. Yeah, Barry. Oh, yeah, he's like fine wine, isn't he?
What a player. What a man.
Yeah.
What a player. Man. So you stop. Remind me about a story about Barry when we get onto my dinner days.
We do. Yeah. We will. We are. Yeah.
Those Stevenage guys, like you said, they were good enough in the conference. Won the playoffs. The following, that was obviously end of season. I think the following, was it October, November time, I got appointed to Jill's job.
Yes, you did. Yeah. So you become Jill's manager on the 1st of November. How did the Jules job come about? Obviously, Football League club, what was the approach like from Mr. Scally?
Well, what it was, again, I had something in my contract that if a club matched, I was allowed to speak to them.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of clubs interested in them at the time because I was doing reasonably well in the non-league circuit. There was a few chats, but nothing really materialised. And I got the call saying Jindal were prepared to pay the £100,000. Stevenage didn't want me to go. I wanted the opportunity to speak to Gillingham because obviously it's a League One club, and going back to my football days, always thought, try and get as high as you can and see if you can cope or see if you're good enough. I've lucky enough to play the Spurs only a couple of times, but I look back on that with great memories. And a bit similar to Gillingham, League One, would I get the opportunity again? I'd already turned down MK Dons about 6 months before we were League One.
Wow.
That was probably for family reasons more. So this opportunity come along, and after meeting with the chairman, Paul, having a great chat at his house with his wife, he liked what I said. I certainly liked what he said. I'd heard a lot about him, but he guaranteed to me that I'll be in full control of the team. He won't interfere. He's there to guide me and help me.
Yeah.
I thought, let's do it. Let's go for it. And I took the job. And also with the job, they give me £250,000 to buy a player. £250,000 at the time. That was quite good money. And I thought, okay, I'm going to get Steve Morrison.
Okay.
Because he's worth it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for us, Leeds offered the same. and they blew us away with the wages.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew us away. So I lost out on Steve. Then there's another young player I had at Stevenage called Bradley Johnson, central midfield player. I think he's playing at
Derby. He's playing for Derby now. Yeah. Derby or Blackburn? Is it Blackburn?
One of those.
Blackburn,
of those,
I think.
Yeah, I offered 250 grand for him at Northampton.
Wow.
You won't believe it. Leeds done this again. And I was thinking, is my phone been rigged up here or something, because every player I'm going for, Leeds seem to come in for and get. So, cut a long story short, I missed out on those two. I went and paid £150,000 for Simeon Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'm led to believe Jindal got £700,000 for him when he left to go to Norwich.
Wow, okay.
So, again, me, I judge my managerial career as success, not just on winning, about player development.
Yeah.
How many players have you worked for, got for near enough nothing or a little fee, and have you improved them? Have they gone on to bigger and better things? And Simeon was definitely one of those. And then the other money we used on bringing, I think it was four or five, it was Alan Julian, Adam Miller, John Nutter, Barry Fuller, Stuart Lewis.
It was, yeah.
From Stevenage.
Yeah.
Because I just thought that the squad, when I took over, I just thought the squad needed revamping.
Yeah.
You know, there were some very, very good pros there. And again, it was only my point of view for what it was. I just thought the team needed some more legs.
Yeah.
In League One. A very difficult level. You know, looking back now, your Swansea's and your Leeds, they had everything. They had legs, they had experience, they had quality. So I went down the route of trying to get players out. It was very difficult. Unfortunately, you know, people will hear stories. There's always two sides of stories. I'm not going to get in with it. I thought the club were absolutely fantastic with every player. They tried to do a deal. Some players took it. Some players didn't.
Yep.
For their own reasons. In the end, we unfortunately got relegated my first season. But again, speaking with the chairman throughout that season, he was so positive because he knew I was that type of guy, and we were going to come back and have a real go at it with the players we'd sort of got, and then also with the likes of Simon Roy, still able, Simon King, who's just an exceptional player, with a few of the other boys who were left there. And like you just spoke about earlier on, that season we did go down. The following year we bounced back. Had a great run. Curtis Weston coming into the team, Josh Wright coming into the team in Christmas time and giving us something else, a bit more quality on the ball, and ended up going to that again, that fantastic stadium. I think was it 45,000 in the fans?
It was, yeah. That. Yeah.
So to do that for all the sort of hard work I've been through that first sort of 6 months, that certainly smoothed it over and made it a much better summer.
I mean, Mark, we'll go back to you mentioned about the players that you brought in in that first kind of 6 months that you took Jill's job. Was your hand kind of forced when you first looked at the squad that they kind of weren't your? Because the problem was that when you got that job, was that we were kind of, I remember it, we were on a little bit of a free fall, and it was a bit hard to kind of stop us. In terms of it was no way your fault, and you weren't to blame that we ended up going down. But did you end up seeing that squad and thinking, I'm going to have to change something here because this is not really the squad that I want to go forward with?
Yeah, listen, when you took the job, you sit down with the players, you talk to them, you say, look, new manager coming in, everyone's going to get an opportunity, just be ready for the opportunity, take the opportunity. My first 5 games, and we did have some tough games, yeah, I remember we played Swansea, we played Doncaster, we were a very good side at the time.
Yeah.
My first 5 games, in 4 of those games, we was either winning or drawing at 75 minutes.
Yeah.
And we lost 4 out of 5. So that, unfortunately, looking at it, that only boiled down to one thing.
Yeah.
That was fitness. You know, certain players didn't agree with that, but that's the stat. Yeah. 75 minutes, we were as good as anyone. We played Swansea away, I think it was. We went ahead 1-0, conceded late and got beat. We got a draw there, so I saved a penalty late, I remember it.
Yeah.
Doncaster were winning, we lost. So after discussions with the players about training methods, might be a little bit different to what we're used to, but this is what we've got to do. Otherwise, we are going to go down, and I ain't coming to go down. I want to be in a team that's mid-table going forward. Some players took it on board, some players rebelled against it. You know, and certain days, we couldn't even get players out on the training pitch because they had injuries. So that was difficult, really difficult. And then the boys I was bringing in, you couldn't get these off the training pitch. I dragged these guys off because they want to get better, they want to get fitter. And it was a real horrible atmosphere. It was a horrible atmosphere. And it became a little bit, unfortunately, it became a little bit league, non-league.
Did it? Was there kind of a split between the squad?
Yeah, there was a little split. I'll be honest with you. There was a split and it was horrible. And the fans sort of picked up on this as well. And I just used to try and, you know, speak to certain people, not everyone, because listen, in the day, I'm not going to convince everybody, but people used to say, you bring too many non-league players in, they're not good enough, they're not going to be good enough. And I used to say, tell me Jernham's possibly greatest player.
Yeah.
And Andy Essendon's title would be far away, would he?
Yeah, no.
And where'd he come from?
Non-league.
So, please, just give these guys a chance. Give them a chance. Don't judge them as non-league. Judge them as a football player.
Yeah.
And just see how much desire they've got. Because they've all, and I knew Andy, I played against Andy, had some great battles with him. And the one thing you knew you was going to get was 100% effort. And every player I brought into the club at Gillingham done that. And that's all they asked for. Give me the effort and I'll make you a better player and hopefully we could get to where we were. So yeah, it was a difficult time. It was a split. Even to when we won the playoff final, probably no one's ever heard this story, we won the playoff final at Wembley. We got on the coach after the game, come out of Wembley Stadium, and there was a split on the bus.
Wow.
There was 4 players at the front of the bus. I won't name names. And the rest of the squad, and some of that squad was Andy Bartram from Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
They was at the back of the bus.
Wow.
And then you think, wow.
Hang on.
This is not right.
Yeah,
this
what's going
right.
on here?
But,
yeah,
the year before there's only 4 so-called non-league players there. But Gary Richards come from Colchester, who's part of that playoff team that won. He's like the king at the back. And,
Unbelievable partnership.
Yeah,
them
yeah. Johnny Nutter and Barry Fuller come out of non-league. Mark Bentley was on the bench, come out of non-league.
Stuart Lewis.
That's what you can't forget this, where some of these guys actually come from. And it's still proven now. You know, I'm at non-league level now. I've got a player at Hornchurch who, no disrespect to Jindam, he's too good for Jindam.
Yeah.
Far too good. This kid will probably go championship in the next, when this sort of lockdown gets out of the way. So it's happening all the time. But it was frustrating because I'm just someone who comes in and just wants to give everything I've got, make players better, make the environment enjoyable. But you mustn't get away from the best players or the fittest players.
No.
The days of standing on a pitch and admiring a 40, 50 yard pass or flicking it up two or three times have gone. And that was something that I installed in the young players I had.
Yeah.
The story about Barry Fuller. Barry Fuller got pneumonia 3 days before Christmas, rushed into hospital. I don't think anyone knew about it. We kept it quiet because the lad was really, really poorly. He was in hospital all over Christmas, all over New Year. He actually played in the final at Wembley that same season.
Yeah.
He come back stronger. And that's what I said there, not just a football player, but what a man. What a man. And still to play the level he's playing at his age now, like you said, like a great bottle of wine. Yes.
Yeah, and in fairness, getting better. Somehow, certainly last year, was unbelievable. I think he either won it or come runners-up in our Player of the Year.
I do still keep contact with a couple of Gymnasium supporters, and that's really nice. I've got one guy who comes and watches us probably six times a season when Jules may be away somewhere midweek and we're local.
Yeah.
He comes over and we have a chat, so we catch up and we talk about the old times. We still talk about the young players, you know, like the Jack Payne, I'll give his debut. Remember Luke Freeman? I played away at Barnet as a 15-year-old. Got him a move to Arsenal. Sorry, he went to Newcastle, but he wanted to stay in London, so we got him a move to Arsenal. Again, unfortunately, it ended sadly because obviously the following season we got relegated.
Yeah.
A massive loss in that season, and it happened in pre-season. We had an offer from Charlton for Simon King. It was a fantastic offer. And again, the chairman being the chairman, he said to me, "Mark, it's your call. It's a lot of money." I said, "Chairman, it is a lot of money, but this guy, he can take us to the next level. We need to build a team around him."
Yeah.
Unfortunately, first game in pre-season, Bromley away, he went up to head a ball, come down and snapped his ankle completely.
Yeah.
And I don't think he played for about 18 months.
He didn't, no.
And again, to replace someone like that, left-footed centre-half, comfortable with the ball, bring the ball out, play a certain way, we struggled. I struggled. The team struggled to sort of play the way we wanted to play without a Simon King. And me being me, wanted to stick to a certain way of football. If you look back now, there might have been one or two games I probably would have gone, "Well, we won't try that." But that's the way I am. Unfortunately, we lost it to the last game of the season. We lost at Wickham. Again, I know it's many years ago, but it only seems like yesterday. And I paid the price, understood the chairman's reasons totally, and didn't, you know, try to have not a debate over it, but no, understood it and had to take it on the chin and move on.
I mean, we'll go back to that. We can't forget that memorable season that we had, ending in Wembley. Just kind of the results I'm looking at here, that you think at the start of the season it was potentially never going to be possible. Everyone obviously remembers we got whacked at Shrewsbury.
Let me interrupt. Please say that word I want you to say.
Go on.
7-0.
Yeah, I was about to say it.
Fantastic. It was up in the Wembley changing room before the game.
Yeah.
And the words were, "It won't happen today."
No.
So that point, losing 7-0, and again, listen, it's many years ago, and supporters will listen hopefully to this chat I'm having, and it was an excuse. It was not an excuse. Gary Richards got took off in that game with a cut eye.
Yeah.
A collision with Grant Holt on 22 minutes, 1-0 down. Their doctor told me he'd be missing for 5 minutes. 25 minutes later, he was still not on the pitch. We were 4-0 down.
Yeah.
Grant Holt caused absolute havoc in those 20 minutes. Again, coming back that night, you fear the worst because it's such a bad result. And again, the chairman being just absolutely fantastic with me, just saying, "Mark, it's a one-off.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from. I wasn't making excuses. In fact, Gary got took off. They told us if it had been 25 minutes, I'd have replaced him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But we got over that. There was a couple of other results that you're probably going to point out in the season where you think, oh, this ain't going to plan. But me being me, knowing that second half we're going to come strong because fitness levels, they won't deteriorate. They're going to get better. They're going to get better. And then adding Josh Wright to the squad.
Yeah.
Who was a very good football player, technically. He's fitted in nicely into that midfield for us.
Yeah, I mean, I will speak about some of the results that... I mean... Yeah, you look at results here kind of early on, and we were kind of mixed and match side early in the season. We'd go and beat Rotherham at home 4-0, then we'd go to Bury and get beaten 4-0, and then
we lose to Luton 1-0.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, but then we'd draw at home to Aldershot 4-4, and
yes,
but then go up to Accrington and beat them 2-0. I think one game that kind of stands out in my mind that I thought, you know what, this Gillingham side are really special. The Tuesday night at Notts County, where Simeon Jackson scored. And
yes,
kind of felt like that night that the squad were together and this was kind of something special. We then went to Brentford. And at the time, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was first v second. I think we'd gone on such a run.
Yeah.
Around that time, that it was actually first v second, didn't it? And it was two sides that were really going for it, wasn't it?
Yes. No, and it was like you say, again, the start wasn't what we wanted, but we had this belief in the group. We'll get stronger, we'll get better. It's just a matter of time, and just keep doing what you're doing. And in the end, it was proved right. It took us to the playoffs. There ain't many better places to get promoted than winning at Wembley. I think every Jules fan would probably agree.
I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, I was there that day at Wembley.
Right.
But, I mean, bawling my eyes out after Simeon Jackson headed it into the net. What was interesting was that I actually thought you got it totally spot on that day, was that you didn't make any substitutions, which is quite rare in a final like that, because usually managers kind of have to force their hand. Did you just have so much belief in that kind of 11 that you, because Jules fans for the best part of 2-3 months before that playoff final, before the playoff semi-final, could look at that side and go, right, it's going to be Royce in goal, it's going to be Fuller, Richards, King, Nutter, it's going to be a midfield three of Josh Wright, Stuart Lewis, Curtis Weston, it's then going to be a front three of Simeon Jackson, Andy Bartsham and Dennis Ollie, and we'd know it. Do you think that's kind of, you had that belief that the boys, right up to that 90th minute, were going to go and do it?
Yes, and a big part of that was, if you'd have seen us train 10 days before,
yeah,
what we put them through was a hard one to do, because we were testing them. We were testing them, really, really, really pushed them to their limits. But there was a lot of recovery in time as well. And I didn't have to make a change, because I knew the fitness levels were superb, absolutely superb. And they were, apart from Simon in goal, that was a young team.
Yeah.
A young team. You know, I think the oldest player would have probably been Barry Fuller, probably 20s, 25, something like that, I would have thought.
Yeah.
So it was such a fit team. Fit team who had worked so hard. And there was guys on the bench who probably could have come on and maybe done the job. But I was just confident in them that we'll go all the way. We will go all the way. We don't have to change it. Just keep trying to do. Just make sure we don't let the boy Holt get a chance around in the 18-yard box, because he's big, he's strong. But Richards and King on the day were phenomenal. They were absolutely phenomenal. I know Josh Wright got a lot of praise because he got a lot of time on the ball and seen them for scoring the goal. But the two centre-halves were, for young players against a strong Grant Holt, they were outstanding.
Simon had him in his pocket, didn't he?
Simon did what Simon, you know, we knew he could do. He could defend, but also he broke out a couple of times. And we were unfortunate not to score a couple of set pieces we'd worked on in the week, and they come off and they look good and just cleared off the line as such. But no, the belief was there with the fitness that we weren't going to fatigue. There's no way, because we'd done so much the 10 days previous. Yeah. We took them way, way out of their comfortable zones. And, they were just ready to give everything and get that result that we all thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we mentioned, yeah, go on to the next season then. Summer come around. Your signings. I mean, the players that we lost, it weren't kind of an awful lot, really. We kind of kept the bulk of it together. Yes. But you did add. Obviously, you Josh Gowling, Danny Jackman, Kevin Mayer, Chris Palmer, Jacob Erskine. Yep. Obviously, Fabian Brandy coming later on. And so, yeah, did you kind of, what was the ambition for going into that season? Because obviously we've seen it before that teams, once they go up and they get so much confidence, sometimes they end up going up straight again. What was the ambition for that season?
Well, for us, we were in great spirits. The team was young and it looked like it could go again. But after that first game in pre-season with the injury to Simon King, that really did throw it. Because then you're going to look for a left-footed centre-half who can edit, can play, can talk, can run, can do everything. And it was so hard to find. And although some people went, that's just one position, but it's left-footed centre-half who can play out from the back. So we brought in, a few experience with Kevin Mayer and Danny Jackman, who had already been at the club and had a great time, could play a few positions. Jacob was a young lad out of non-league. He actually played the Bromley game against us and looked quite impressive. And then the boy Palmer could play a few positions and played in the division for a couple of years. So we just sort of thought, just try and add to it. But we were looking at, obviously with Simon King, it was a different outlook. Once Simon went, unfortunately got injured, we were just sort of looking, can we get to mid-table, stabilise, and then go again the following season. But unfortunately, that didn't happen, and it was really frustrating because you probably know the stat, and I'll never forget, we'd never won away from home that season.
Yeah.
It was just amazing because there was games where teams scored in the last minute, we'd played teams off the park. I never forget meeting someone for the first time in a game, and I think they beat us convincingly. I think it might have been by 2 goals, it might have been 3-1 or 4-2. This guy I'm talking about was an absolute legend of a football player. He was manager at Tranmere. Do you know what I'm going to say?
Go on.
John Barnes.
Yeah.
He was manager at Tranmere and they beat us. And he said to me after the game, I never met him before in my life, said hello before the game. He said to me, Mark, come see me afterwards. I said, okay. And with me being okay, sat in the change room, I thought, I'm not going to go and pester John Barnes. What do you want to talk to me about? He actually came in the change room looking for me. He said, Mark, I want a word with you.
Wow.
So I went into his office and he said, I'm gutted for you. He said, you've showed my boys today how to play football. He said, but you've got nothing out of the game. He said, I can't believe it. He said, with it, 2 wonder goals. He said, you've done everything except score 6 goals. He said, and I'd like to keep in contact. And at that era, he used to change DVDs with certain managers. If we were playing a team and you knew a manager, he'd send you the DVD the week before so you could have a little look at it. And I'd do the same to other managers. And he said, I'd love to be able to do that. And I was like, it's John Barnes. You know, I don't usually get starstruck, but of course I will, John, you know. And so although we lost, we come away with, because you always question yourself, you've got beat, why did we get beat? Was it me? Was it the team I picked? Was it the way we played? But after hearing that from someone at that sort of level, you think, keep going.
Yeah.
And I said, the amazing thing about that, we beat the likes of Southampton who went up, we beat Leeds who went up, we beat Swansea that went up.
Yep.
All at home, we absolutely wiped the floor with them.
Yeah, we did.
And then we'd go away, and like I said, there was times we got beat. I don't think we ever got beat badly. I think Southampton might have given us a drumming down there.
Yeah, 4-1, yeah.
Again, you look at their team they had at the time, Lallana's and Foster in goal, and Font at the back, who's a Portuguese international now, Lambert up front, you think, well, okay. But apart from that, we held our own. And then to get to sort of like 3 or 4 games at the end of the season, thinking we only won away from home, how can this not be?
No.
And unfortunately, we couldn't change that. In that last one at Wickham, we just didn't manage it. And all our good work home, I think our last home game was Southampton at home. Alan Pardew was manager.
Yeah.
And I remember if we'd have got 4 points from the two games, we stayed up no matter what. And we was thinking, well, if we can get a point against Southampton, who weren't automatically up then, and then go to Wickham and win, that could be the 4 points. But yeah. I think we beat Southampton 2-0, 2-1. Comfortable.
2-1, yeah.
We won, and you think, yeah, not job done, but what a great chance we've got. But that's football. That's football. Yeah. You have to go out every week and earn that right and score those goals, and we didn't. And like I said, I took the brunt of it. I obviously got dismissed and moved on. Yeah. Wish the chairman and the club all the best, and obviously still look out for the results now, and moved on to my next sort of journey.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, just finishing off with Jules, looking back on that season, do you kind of put it down to the fact that recruitment or luck, because obviously injuries played a massive part. Do you put it down? Do you put it down to maybe recruitment? Because obviously you look at obviously the players that we brought in and their experience, but you go back to you having like young, hungry players. No disrespect to Palmer, Chris Palmer and Kevin Mayer. They were more kind of the experience route. Did you want to go, once we'd moved up a level, did you want to go more that route rather than going the same route that you did for League Two?
Again, I think it's a combination of what you said there, the luck, the injuries, the recruitment. Probably a combination of all three. If you go back on your time now, would you possibly go Kevin Mayer and Chris Palmer rather than sign two? Do you go for one sort of better player or more expensive player as such? But again, everything's governed by budgets. Like I said, we give Simon King a new 3-year contract that season because we refused the offer from Charlton, but we had to improve Simon's deal, so we tripled his wages.
Yeah.
So that was a big chunk of the budget. So then you have to, again, you're guidelined, you have to be sensible. So with the recruitment side of it, I just thought we'd go for numbers, experience. It didn't work out. We'll just try it again differently. I'd say, who knows? I think the big one was the Simon King.
That day at Wickham, Mark, I bet, the thing is that I was at Wickham and it was kind of all against us, wasn't it? Was that it, in terms of we were the favourites not to go down.
Yes.
We were kind of ahead of the pack. The only way we could kind of go down was goal difference. If teams had won around us. I mean, in fairness, and then I still remember it. It was kind of, I think it was 0-0 at the time. You might be able to correct me if I'm wrong. Jackson missing, kind of putting it straight over the bar from a yard out, and you thought, here we go.
Yes. That for me, I spoke to Simeon for about 2 months ago. I hadn't spoken to him for a few years because he's been up north, but I was going through my garage a couple of months ago, and I've actually got the ball that he scored with at Wembley, and he signed it for me.
Wow.
And obviously I don't need it anymore, and I'm going to give it to Simeon when we meet up. It's only because he's locked down right there, and so I've been giving it to him. But we spoke about that, and I said, it's different scales. You know, you score that goal, we win 1-0, or we draw, I don't get the sack on the Monday, and who knows, but you missed it, I get the sack, and you go and move to Norwich. You missed the goal. How do you work that one out? But no, you have to laugh about it. You have to get, it's all this but the maybe.
Of course.
They'd already been relegated. They played with so much freedom.
Yeah.
The boy destroyed us on the day. Can you remember who that was?
I'm going to say,
he plays for West Brom now.
Matty Phillips.
That's it. Yeah, he destroyed us on the day. And he had the potential to do that. He was just a lad who was going to go on to bigger and better things. We couldn't control him on the day. He caused chaos. They scored their goals. We didn't. And when that final whistle went, it was a feeling of, very, very disappointed, frustrated, and ready to take what's called coming sort of thing,
Yeah, I mean, coming next for you in the summer, once you'd left the Jills, you were appointed the manager of Barnet.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, how did the move come about and why Barnet?
Again, obviously getting sacked from Gillingham after about a month, thinking, what am I going to do? Where can I go? Call come, would I be interested in the Barnet job? Went and met the people there, accepted the job. Again, going to be totally honest with you, 2 weeks into the job, I should have resigned. I should have come out.
Really?
You had no chance. You had absolutely no chance with the chairman's ways. I've been with a chairman at Gillingham who let me get on with things, and anything I needed, he would do his best to go out and help me get it. Whereas we went into Barnet, and I did say to him when I took the job, have you ever sacked a manager in pre-season? And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, well, we've got Arsenal at home, Watford at home, Crystal Palace at home, Southampton at home, and I think the other one was Charlton at home.
For a pre-season, wow.
Yeah, Charlton was the only non-Premier League side.
Wow.
I said, and you haven't, the pre-season's been programmed, we can't get any more games in. So how do you expect us to get used to the football? We're going to be chasing the ball. And his answer was, it's finances. And I thought, well, that's strange. But left it. 2 weeks in, up my first game, Arsenal pre-season. Never forget it. I asked the kit man to put some power drinks into the change room before the game, Powerade, to get a sponsor from the league.
Yeah.
At Gillingham, at the end of the season, we give, I think, every Gillingham team about 6 crates each because we had so much of it. At Barnet, I asked the kit man to put 24 bottles in. He said to me, you have to ask the chairman for that. I said, why? He said, well, Mark, you have to. Everything is done by email. Cut a long story short, he charged me £1 a bottle.
Wow.
And then, after playing the Arsenal game, told by the chairman, Mark, don't kick them. Well, I'm not going to kick them. We lost the game. Afterwards, there was comments made by the chairman about the game. I just thought, I shouldn't be here. I should not be here because this is not going to work. But me being me, wanted a job, wanted to stay in the game, spoke to a couple of senior people, one being an ex, I think I'll be right in saying this, a Gillingham legend, Keith Peacock.
Yeah.
Speaking to Keith, because obviously my relationship with Gavin, speaking to Keith about it and weighing everything up, he said, just go with it, try not to get, you know, too frustrated with things. So I did. Unfortunately, first game of season, one playing three up top, like the Gillingham formation. My number 9 was a guy called Steve Cabot, who had just come out of the Championship to come back home to live in London. 60 minutes into the game, tackle from behind, naughty tackle, broke his leg.
Wow.
Out for three months. Then going to the chairman saying, look, we need to get a player. What can we do about it? Sorry, Mark, money spent, can't do nothing.
Wow.
So, yeah, I hung in there till Christmas, to New Year's Day. Is that my New Year's Day?
Yeah.
I hung in there till New Year's
It probably
Day.
Also didn't help that we'd not won away all for the previous year. We went to Oxford and won away for the first time in 18 months and then went to Barnet on a Tuesday night with you as manager. And won again.
Correct. Yes. I think we did hear that night from the Gillingham fans.
Yeah.
Rightly so. But yeah, no. Listen, the results were a mixed bag. We were playing a boy up top who was 18, just been released from Norwich youth team again. Another one I'd spotted, and I thought he could be potentially this season a learning curve. Next season, kick on, learn from it. Steve Cabot.
Yeah.
A guy called. I think he played for Gillingham as well, Ricky, didn't he? Ricky Holmes.
Well, I'd say played. He turned up, held his shirt up as a photo, and didn't make an appearance.
Oh, sorry. Right, yeah. Well, I signed Ricky out of non-league in Chelmsford,
Looking
to Barnet, and I know after Barnet, he went on to play for a few clubs, and I think he's still contracted somewhere nightly now.
I think he's contracted Sheffield United still.
There you go. So he played on one wing. Mark Marshall played on the other wing.
Mark played for us, yeah.
Mark played for you as well.
Yeah.
So I had them two on the wings, flying machines, but I had a young kid down the middle who wasn't ready for the physical side of the league too. So our results were a mixed bag. I left there, like I said, New Year's Day, got sacked after the game. Again, just trying to be honest, just said, Chairman, thanks, Happy New Year. Move on. I just signed Isle McLeod about 4 weeks before.
Wow.
Had a really bad injury at Colton. We worked with him, getting fit. I think he played 45 minutes against Aldershot.
Yeah.
And, you know, I said to the chairman, well, you sacked me, and I just signed your best player. And he went, oh, we'll see. And I think Isaac was top goal scorer for 2 years after that. but no, we got out of there, moved on.
Yeah. I mean, you were then, appointed manager of Kettering.
Yes.
How did that move come about?
That was from an agent, George Boyd's agent.
Oh wow, okay.
He rang me and said, would you be interested in Kettering? I said, listen, I don't know nothing about it. What's it about? He said, no, it's okay. He's had his rough times. Go and speak to the guy. I said, what's he like? He said, well, there's a lot of things said about him. I said, okay, again, I've heard a lot of things about Paul Scully. So I thought, I'll go and give this guy a chance. Went down there. I've got to be careful what I say in case he listens, but I don't really care. the guy is an absolute disgrace.
Really?
Yeah. What he done to myself and other players was a total liberty.
Yeah.
We went in there. No one got paid for 3 months. Kept promising. We all kept turning up. And I was travelling from Hornchurch to Kettering every day, 225 miles. Doing my bit, travelling up north, getting beat, only having 10 players, 11 players, four, three like 16-year-old kids. All boiled down to New Year's Day at home, Luton at home, after getting in touch with him for a couple of weeks. He said, everyone will be paid. So I speak to the captain, it gets all the players to come, do a day's training before. Some of them train for 2 or 3 weeks because they financially couldn't get to training. We played the game, 5,500. I think we got beat 4-5-0. No surprise there. And then one of the craziest things ever happened. He came into my office with his wife, and he said to me, right, Mark's going to go and get the cash. I'll be back. So me being me, genuine, I thought, okay, that's fine. 20 minutes later, I looked at his wife and said, please don't tell me he's done that. And she just stared at me. I walked out my door, looked out my office where his car should have been, and he had it on his toes.
Wow.
So I just said to his wife, I feel sorry for you. You've married that person. And that was it. I walked out of Kettering to 3 court cases, won every case, but unfortunately didn't get a penny.
Wow.
And then you start to sort of then think, well, this game is not right. It's not right, you know. You're on a contract. I go back to my Greys and my Canvey days. I was never on a contract. I just got paid by the man who said I was going to get paid. I went into this place on a contract. And you think, oh, what's this all about?
Yeah.
So that's when I had a little rethink about what I want to do next. Where do I want to go? What's it all worth? You know, and... after working with Darren Ferguson at Peterborough and Barry Fry for probably 6 months scouting, and putting a couple of half-decent players their way, but getting a bit frustrated with one when I told them, you must sign this player. This player you must sign. He's got an issue at the moment, but that'll be taken care of in 3 months. But this player is going to be something special. Then giving them to their other scouts and watching, they come back with, we're not quite sure. My days of scouting got a little bit frustrated because that player was Jamie Vardy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I got a little bit frustrated with that because I'd given them a couple before, in Aaron McLean many years before, George Boyd from Stevenage.
You think they would have trusted you?
I thought they would have gone with it, yeah, definitely, yeah. When you only had to pay 100 grand.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Was this when he was at Stocksbridge?
No, this was at Fleetwood.
This Fleetwood, yeah.
I played against him for Kettering.
Okay.
I played against him for Kettering on a Tuesday night game, absolutely blowing a gale force wind, and this kid was so quick, it was incredible. And then I left Kettering about 2 weeks after that,
yeah.
And then went into scouting, I said to Barry Bell, I've got a player, I don't even need to go and watch him, just take the name, sign him quick. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. And then they said, no, stay. So me being me, I'll stay. Then I went for another player for them. I went and watched this player play for, I think it was Hitchin he first started out at. Then he got a move to Luton. And I said, again, sign this player before he plays in the playoff final at Luton, because if you don't, he's going to score at Wembley and you're going to have to pay a lot of money for him. They went and looked. They said, no, Andre Gray. So that was it. I'd had enough. I thought, no, I'm not going to do it no more. And then possibly then, my boy then was around 19, just got released from Barnet.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah.
Had a couple of mates who had been released from Charlton, West Ham. They all needed senior football. And knowing the Thurrock owner through a family friend, they were looking for a new manager.
Yep.
They were looking to go into a new direction. Spoke to him. And said, let's give it a go. I've got a couple of young players here who I think will be decent for this level. We might be able to move one or two on and get something for it, and we'll enjoy it. And that's what I've done. I went into Thurrock, stayed there. We moved two players on. One was a young lad who'd come through our system at Thurrock called Mark Onyemar. He went to Luton for 2 years. He didn't really make it, but he had a gun. And the other boy was a boy called Ricardo Santos, who I took from Dagenham. We sold him to Peterborough. Barry, this time, listen to me. He listened to me, but as far as, because these boys wasn't on contract,
yeah,
we only got a minimal fee. And I think Peterborough sold him last year to Barnet, as it happens, I think for 100 grand.
Yeah.
So, no, we went to Thurrock. I had six years there, up and down, one promotion. And then, unfortunately, the chairman who got cancer and was unfortunately ill, but fingers crossed, everything crossed, he's come through that and he's fitting well now. He just decided that he built the club 35 years ago from a scrap heap. He decided he'd had enough and he just wanted to enjoy his life. And as a matter of fact, I was speaking to him yesterday, so we're still in contact. And he decided to fold the club, so that's what happened.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned him there. Your boy Charlie, of course, has been at clubs with you. How is Charlie?
Yeah, he's great. He's a man now. He's 28.
Yeah.
So, from starting out at a young age playing football, and he enjoys his football like all young lads do, and he's still enjoying it now, sort of thing. And at the level we play at, he's a decent player. So. Probably for him, he probably has to be more than decent, if I'm honest. Probably more harder than him than on probably any other player I've managed, unfortunately. But that's the way it is. He understands and he gets on with it. He knows. I tell him many times there's been opportunities for him to go elsewhere. Go where you enjoy it. And he says, no, I enjoy it here. So long may that continue.
Yeah, I mean, after Thurrock folded, you were appointed the manager of Walton Mappy. With Thurrock folding, you were then looking for a job. You was only there for a short amount of time, weren't you?
Yeah, the Waltham Abbey one, again, just met up with the chairman through single one. I had a couple of other opportunities, but unfortunately couldn't take jobs for a couple of different reasons. I took the Waltham Abbey job, but took a nucleus of seven players with me from Thurrock. I knew that we're going to be too good for that level. We lost our first game and then we won our next seven. And then Ornchurch, the manager left and I got a phone call from them. They knew all the players I took to Waltham Abbey because Thurrock and Ornchurch were in the same league the year before. I think we beat them in the playoff semi-final.
Yeah.
So they knew of the players. They knew I could bring these players across and it would strengthen their team. We did that. The first sort of season, we stayed up. And then, obviously, on to this season now, where we improved the squad. We've got in a couple of ex-professionals, and one being Chris Dixon, who I took was on loan from Charlton when I was at Gillingham.
You did,
And had a fantastic career in between time. And still, at his young age of 35, Chris was our top goal scorer this season and was second highest goal scorer in the league.
Wow.
We've got plenty to offer.
Yeah, because he was playing at National League South level last year, wasn't he?
that's it. He was at National South.
Yeah.
I spoke to Chris a few times throughout his career, and we had good conversations. Always sort of said it'd be nice to work together again. And when this opportunity came up, he liked it. He knew a few of the players I was signing because they'd all played at decent level as well. And he came on board, and we were looking very strong just before this unfortunate lockdown. We looked like we were going to, you know, either get automatic promotion or definitely be in the playoffs. But unfortunately, it stopped, and we have to see what the next path is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a weird situation at the moment, Mark, isn't it, in the current situation that obviously all football has kind of has been cancelled, and generally football at the level that you're managing, I'm pretty sure that they are going to null and void it, aren't they? What are you?
Yeah, no, our season has been voided.
Yeah, it has been voided.
All Chris's goals, they don't mean anything.
I thought they had. Yeah.
We're void. We're down. We're out.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on it? What's your thoughts on that?
It's difficult because if you're sitting top of the league, you're absolutely distraught because you maybe promotion's been taken away from you. But then if you're down the bottom and you've got a chance of getting out, and you get relegated when you ain't been given a fair chance.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I've said to a few people, you're not going to please everyone. I accept this, what they've said, and you have to get on with it. That's it. You can't do no more. It's different if we only had two games or three games to go, or eight games. And we were playing Worthing in our next game, who were top of our league, I think by 7 points. But we beat Worthing away this year, 6-0.
Wow.
So, you know, not saying it's a gimme, but we thought we'd have beat Worthing, and then we'd only be 4 points behind them with 7 games to go.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's not been kind to anybody. We just hope that we can start next season as near as possible, because for clubs like ourselves, it's not just the players, it's the finance side of the bar that takes throughout the summer for events. As you know, it hosts a hell of a lot of birthday parties and celebrations for people, weddings, funerals. So that there is losing a hell of a lot of revenue, and for clubs at our size, we need that. We need that to keep going.
There we go.
Yeah.
Jules fans, he's been brilliant, hasn't he? I'm sure that you can look at the Jules time. Obviously, it didn't end how we wanted it to. But saying that, he's the only Jules manager at the moment that's won at the new Wembley. And I'm sure that's a feat that you're very, very proud of. Thank you ever so much, Mark. Really, really do appreciate you coming on. Keep listening and liking and commenting on all of our stuff. We've got plenty of players and ex-managers coming onto the channel. And lastly, up the Jules.